And within 6 months, just by doing it, doing the things, not doing it perfectly, not changing the way that I ate completely, but just moving my body and having someone to help me do that, I was able to lose 60 pounds in the course of 6 months. And that was the catalyst that changed everything for me, not just my fitness, but practically every area of my life.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network. Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Brandon Eastman. Brandon, what's good, man? How are you?
Ben, dude, it's great to be here. I'm excited to chat with you on your show because I know we had a great time on my show. A little technical difficulty, but we made it work with what we had.
Dude, so much fun. Well, I want to do like five more of those. We're going to dive deep because Brandon believes the right strategy can save you decades. The sales landscape has changed. Your team needs the right strategies that will boost your performance, help them overcome objections, create unstoppable confidence, and adopt a mindset that will lead them to success. Brandon is the owner of Be Better Industries. I like the B logo right on the chest there for people watching the video, where he helps people boost sales performance, develop unstoppable confidence, achieve self-mastery in work and life. You're the host of the Be Better broadcast that I was on live on LinkedIn that one day a couple weeks ago, and you're an author, YouTuber, and so much more. So, dude, Brandon, you need no introduction, but here it is. Such a pleasure to be with you, man. This is going to be fun.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to dive in with you, man. I know we're going to take it in a lot of different directions, and I'm here for the ride. Let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll. And at the end of the day, this is going to help people be better in business and life. And you've lived it, man. It's not like you rolled out of bed and became a success story. You have your own struggles. You have your own hardships. I love your story, man. Walk through, you know, the man Brandon used to be to who you are and what you get to do today. And maybe some of those failures or struggles along the way. I'd love to hear it. And I'm sure the audience will be fascinated.
Yeah, thanks for asking. You know, you say you lived it. And I would say that I'm still living it every single day. You know, I'm still partly that person I used to be. I grew up as a fat kid, and I had been a fat kid my entire life since I was at least 6-7 years old. You know, my parents brought the snacks home. They got me whatever I wanted for dinner. They supplied me with all the food that I wanted. I just ate. I was a gamer, which definitely doesn't help because you're sitting in front of a computer all day and playing video games. And I didn't really move too much. And I always believed that it was because I was big boned, because that's what people told me. So I had a belief in my mind that I'm fat. It's the way that it is. And that didn't change until my junior year of high school. Once I was like, dude, I gotta like do something here because I don't have a girlfriend, never had a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend and I just want to feel better about myself. So I did things the cheap way. I got like a thermogenic. For those who don't know what that is, it's like a fat burner. Like it helps you to burn calories, lose weight. I guess it's not really. I mean, do what you want to do that will help you feel better. I know for me, it made me lightheaded. It didn't make me feel great, but it did help me lose weight. And after high school, I gained all the weight back when I got into sales. And my whole life, I mentioned my weight because my whole life had been about that pretty much. And I always wanted to make a lot of money just because I thought that that was the milestone of success. And when I got into sales, I was still a fat guy and I did very well financially for several years in sales. But I realized that's not what was making me happy. I was buying all the things for myself. I got all the equipment. I got all the guitars. I bought the nice car, all those things. but I still wasn't happy. And to this day, I work with sales teams and salespeople, and making more money isn't what makes you happy. Obviously, sales companies don't want you to say that as you're walking in the door, because their number one objective is boost sales, make more money. But I like to say that I'm the Trojan horse of sales trainers. I go in saying, I'm going to help you make more money. But the strategies and the philosophies, and not even the tactics, like we said, but the mindset that will get you there is a mindset of self-mastery, not just money mastery. Money is just one piece of the equation. And through the help of personal development, Ben, and through self-mastery, I was able to lose 60 pounds, eliminate tons of debt. It inspired me to start my own business when I was 25. And that's where I am today with Be Better Industries and talking with you here on this podcast.
Good. And I'm excited to be with you. So you lost 60 plus pounds. How'd you do that? I mean, at what point did you look in the mirror and go like, who is this guy? Like, at what point did you decide I need to make a change?
Every day. I actually just posted a picture on LinkedIn that my sister sent me. It was a picture of me. And for those, you can go look at my LinkedIn and see it. It was a picture of me with a big plate of pasta and cheese. And don't get me wrong, I'm still enjoying a big plate of pasta and cheese. Like, I'm still doing it. I just move now. I actually use my body more and I'm intentional about my fitness. But it was just me waving with a big plate of pasta. And I was at my heaviest I had been. I was 260 pounds in that picture. And then on the right side, I posted where I'm at now. And dude, every time I looked in the mirror, I felt like crap. Like, I was not happy with how I looked. I was balding at the time. I had no beard, right? So I was completely different. For those not watching, I'm bald now with a beard. Not a beard as beautiful as yours, but a beard nonetheless. And I went to my boss at the time to answer your question of how did you do it. My boss at the time was a fit guy. Now, actually, he's one of the top ranked power lifters in the entire world for his weight class. He's almost benching 1,000 pounds. And I think I don't know what weight class he's in, but I know he's not that heavy. He's a smaller guy. But at the time, he wasn't a power lifter. He was just fit. And when I went to him and said, hey, man, I want to move up in the company. I want to become a leader here. I'm making a lot of money in this sales company. I'm doing all the things, but now I want to help other people do it. He said, Brandon, there's no way you're going to be a leader here. And I was like, what do you mean? You didn't even hear me out. And he said, how can you expect to lead other people if you can't even lead yourself? How can you get the respect from others if you don't respect yourself? And I was like, how do you know I don't respect myself? He's like, look at you. And it sounds harsh because at the time it was really harsh. And I was not as uppity as I am talking about it now. I was angry and I was pissed off. And I actually almost left the company because of what he said to me. And the only reason I didn't leave the company is because he said, Brandon, before you leave, understand that the grass isn't greener on the other side. Like, you can make your mark here in the company. You can feel better about yourself. You can respect yourself. But in order for you to do that, you're going to have to work on you. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I hadn't even been introduced to the idea of personal development ever in my life. I remember I worked with a lady named Rita. And when I was 20, a year before I made these changes, she said to me, Brandon, have you ever heard of Tony Robbins? And I was like, no. And she played it. And I was like, literally 2 minutes in. And I was like, dude, what kind of weirdos listen to this stuff? Like, who's listening to this guy just talk about goals and whatever? I was like, sad people need this, right? I was like in denial. I was like, and it's funny because Tony Robbins has been like my biggest inspiration in my life. But he, my mentor introduced me to personal development. And he said, I'm going to help you work on yourself. He actually took me to the gym with him 2 to 3 days a week. I drove an hour to work out with him 2 to 3 days a week. And within 6 months, just by doing it, doing the things, not doing it perfectly, not changing the way that I ate completely, but just moving my body and having someone to help me do that, I was able to lose 60 pounds in the course of 6 months. And that was the catalyst that changed everything for me, not just my fitness, but practically every area of my life.
That's incredible. Congratulations. Shout out, who is this mentor of yours?
His name's Keith Odell.
Keith Odell, shout out Keith, making a big change in Brandon's life. So you change some of your mindset, you change your physical health. Are you still working in this leadership role now? I mean, when did you make that change to entrepreneurship? Why did you make that change? What happened next?
So once I made those changes, I became a sales team lead. Okay. Which what that means is I was a leader over a team of about 15 to 20 salespeople. And I still was kind of purposeless. I still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And listen, there's still days where I'm like, what do I want to do with my life? Like, it's not like that ended. It's still ongoing. And that's why I said, I'm still living this. And I didn't just live it, I'm still living it. But I became a leader and I started to give sales trainings to the team of people that I was seeing and helping to make more money. And I realized after I gave the first sales training, I was like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. Like, I love talking to rooms of people. I remember after the first training I did, I over prepared. Like, as I was driving, I was speaking to myself in the car. I was overviewing my notes. I had the notebook full of everything. I remember some guy after the training saw my notebook and he's like, dude, this looks like the sketches of a serial killer. And I'm like, eh, you're not too far off, I guess. But I had people come up and say, this was actually really enlightening. And I talked about goal setting and time management. I remember specifically. And I said to Keith, who is my manager at the time still, and I said, hey, I would like to do this every training because we had a monthly sales team meeting. And he's like, dude, I don't really like to do this stuff. So you're more than welcome to take care of these trainings and do this. And I started to do that for the next 6 months. And it led to a point where I then became the training coordinator for cellular sales of upstate New York. So now I went from overseeing 15 to 20 people to now a revolving door of new hire trainees, 60 of them at a time. And I started to train them. I started to realize that what helps these people most is telling them my own story. And for those listening, this can be helpful for you because by sharing your own story as a leader, or anything, we're all leaders in some areas of our life, but by sharing your own story and by sharing your own challenges, you're helping people more that way than by just sharing a couple tactics, like make this many calls, you know, go prospect by doing this, say this specifically on the phone. Like, that stuff is all very helpful. But what's even more helpful is for you to be vulnerable and share your story with them. And that's what I started doing, started sharing my story. I started to develop more training programs. And it got to the point with that company where I couldn't really continue to rise up because I had reached the top level after 4 years of doing that. And my bosses were extremely supportive. They said, Brandon, we know that you want to go off and start your own business so you can do this with more companies and help more people. And we're willing to support you with that. And they actually allowed me to go part-time in that role and focus fully on my business. Not fully, but for 3 days a week, I was working with them. And the other time I was focusing full-time on Be Better and helping other companies and people with courses and the podcast and so many other ways. But my mission now is to help people make those same changes in their life that I was able to make and really just implement the process to create those changes and to make them lasting change, not just a quick fix like me in high school, but by helping salespeople create a more full life and a more whole life for themselves, because that in itself translates to sales success and business success and life success. I mean, it all ties together. You know this.
It does all tie together. You're preaching the choir. I love it. I hope the audience is the choir as well. And I love hearing your story because you're right. That this is one thing that one of my mentors, Brian Boker, taught me. And he had his arm cut off from his body, was a kid. I'm not going to tell his whole story. It's a crazy one. But by the grace of God, you know, there was a nurse that saw this happen, reattached it. Years of physical therapy and pain. But what he helped teach me is his story is tremendously unique, but we all have a unique story. And if we can extract the wisdom from these stories, then we can be in the right mindset to implement and be successful in blank. And in this conversation, we're talking about sales, but it's anything in life, right? So what point, so you in a sense, we're going more of a corporate route. You were, you know, the manager, you had all these trainees. At what point did you feel like I wanted to be a business owner? I want to be an entrepreneur. Was it in your blood? Like, at what point did you make that decision that this is the route I want to go? Because obviously, management realized you wanted to go that route. So it was within you. Why'd you make that shift?
When I started to really dive into the world of personal development, and realize that it was an entire industry. So when I started listening to Tony Robbins and Jim Rohn and Robin Sharma and a bunch of people, I could sit here and name them all. Like, it would take a long time, so I won't do that. But I started listening to all these people and reading the books and really just diving into this world of personal transformation. And I realized this is what I want to do. Like, I want to host giant events. I want to create the merchandise. I want to write the books. I want to create the courses. Like, I want to do so much more than what my limitations here are currently allowing me to do. Although that was the jumping pad that brought me to where I am right now. And no, it was not in my blood. I guess kind of it is, because my dad is a business owner and I grew up with two extremely hardworking parents. And I'm blessed to still have them both in my life. They're still together. And my dad's a construction owner. He owns a construction business. And my mom's a waitress. And for those who are in the service industry, you know how hardworking you need to be in order to be a great waitress. Mm-hmm. And I guess I learned what business ownership looked like from my father, but it's a very different landscape. As you know, internet marketing and doing things online is very different than operating an in-person local construction business. And I had no idea what to do. And the first thing that I did in this realm is I did all the things that I thought you should do. I got the website, I got the business cards, I got the logo made.
Yeah.
And I'm happy I did all those things now, but they probably weren't the best things to be doing. I think if you're a business owner out there or you want to be a business owner, focus on the mission first. Like, help people, right? Get results for people. Go out there and do the thing. Like, you don't necessarily need the website and all those fancy things right off the bat. They're cool. And they make it feel like you're making progress forward. But I bought a course, and that course taught me how to actually take my story and my message and share it with the people that I wanted to impact, which is people who were like me, people who are making a lot of money, and they still didn't feel fulfilled. They still weren't necessarily happy with their life. And I started to create content online. And I started on Facebook, and then I went on Instagram, and then I went on YouTube and realized, oh my God, this is the platform I love. Because when I started down this journey, Ben, Tony Robbins, like, my favorite videos of watching him were him just in front of the camera, talking to the camera as if he was talking to just me one-on-one. And I was like, I can't be the only person who loved that format. So I started to make videos just like that. For a year and a half, I did that. And then I created a podcast, because I was like, people love to listen and they can't always just watch. So I started to have amazing guests on the podcast like yourself to share their stories and their tips that brought them to where they are and what their mission is and what they do in their business. And I've really found the sweet spot with combining the video approach, talking one-on-one, but also bringing other people on to share their own story. And it's constantly evolving. And you asked, was this in your blood? Absolutely not. Like, I had to learn these things step by step by step, and I'm still learning every single day. And I'm constantly asking myself, am I moving quickly enough? Like, look at this person. They're so far ahead of myself. And I told my wife that the other day. I was like, you know, Bree, when I look at Tony Robbins, when he was 21, he was touring the world, giving conferences, like hosting his own events, people walking on fire already. And I'm 28 and I'm not doing that yet. And she's like, babe, you got to stop comparing yourself to other people. Just keep focusing on doing the best you can do and growing off of the foundation that you laid. And my wife is a gem. And there's a lot of conversations like that, right? And they go back and forth, although sometimes it feels like it's only me getting the advice. But she's just been so helpful in this journey, but I'm still figuring things out. Certainly was not in my blood, but with the world that we live in today, you can learn anything that you need to learn just by going on Google or YouTube.
And not everyone's like Tony Robbins. Not everyone's 6'5", doing, you know, leadership bicep curls in their sleep. Like, it's a whole different level, a whole different being. Do you find that it's a blessing or something that serves you that you didn't have the perfect upbringing with the most charisma and it wasn't in your blood? Do you see that as a blessing that you get to learn and kind of do it the hard way?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do see it as a blessing. And I think we were all born with that blessing in some form or another. And the fact that we were all born with these specific traits that are natural to us. And some people will say, oh, nothing comes natural. You learn everything. And that might be the case. I guess you could learn things at a very young age that you just don't remember. But I always remember, for me, charisma was actually the one thing that I feel like I've always had, as interesting as that sounds, in the sense that I've always loved teaching people. And I had to learn very quickly how to keep my parents' attention, because I used to come home from school and actually try to reteach my father things that I learned in school that day. Yeah. And as you know, if you're a parent out there, then you, I'm not a parent, but just from this experience, I know it, you don't always give your full attention, right? So I had to work hard to keep his attention as I retaught him these lessons that I learned. And that serves me in what I do today. Like, in my opinion, if you're somewhere and you're on your phone and you're not in to what it is you're listening to, that's not your fault. That's the presenter's fault. Like, it's their job to keep you engaged. And I feel I was born with that charisma. I do feel that. I've developed it, obviously, but I feel like that's also a reason why I've always been really good at sales, is because I've had that charisma. But if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't have that charisma, that's completely okay. Like you said, you know, maybe it's a good thing that you're not like a Tony Robbins. Maybe it's a good thing that you are who you are, right? And I believe that we all have some kind of natural skill. We all have something that we were born with that we can't really put a finger on where we got it from. We just know that we were born with that. Like, what do you think that is for you? I'm curious to hear it. Like, do you feel like you have a natural talent or several?
So without going into my whole life story that most of the listeners have heard, I barely opened my mouth for the first 13 years of my life. I was quite literally small, and I made myself smaller. And since I was always in hiding, my intuition and my curiosity was just laser focused, where it's not like I wasn't in the fetal position, not paying attention. I would make myself smaller to avoid bullies, to avoid being seen. And it was a real struggle of mine. But through similar story to yours, just the personal growth and the growth journey, since at a kid, I was so small, I developed a massive curiosity and a massive obsession with social psychology. And I was a psychology student at the start of college. They say that the reason you go into psychology is you're trying to figure yourself out. And I think that's probably the case. I was trying to figure myself out. But yeah, I guess I haven't really thought about that much. But I think a big part of my curiosity and my love of learning and my acceptance and my openness to understand and to listen to ideas that even at first glance, Brandon, are completely ridiculous. I want to give that person the time of day, because I know what it feels like to feel small, not be understood, not feel seen, be bullied for the way I look or the way I act. So I guess just a curiosity and emotional intelligence comes from that. At one day being the person glancing, and more of a, my dad was an alcoholic, was kind of abusive, so I was always observing. But at that time, I didn't have the charisma to actually come and say something. And now that I've learned some of the, now that I've grown up and learned a lot of this stuff, I can take that curiosity and bring the charisma in to actually show up for people in an authentic way, in a genuine way. Like, I genuinely want to see people be better, like yourself. So
that's, I appreciate you sharing that. And it's funny you say that, because I was a shy kid for most of my life. And I think a lot of it came down to low self-esteem from my weight and the way that I felt about my body. And I looked at other kids who weren't like me, and I was like, what are they doing that I'm not doing? Right now, looking back, it's very easy to see. But I think one of the biggest reasons why I was successful in sales was because I would do anything to avoid rejection. And I remember specifically when I wanted a girlfriend in my younger ages, I was rejected, and I was angry about that. And I bring that with me. And even today, to this day, when I'm rejected for anything, whether it's a business opportunity or anything, I'm aware and self-aware of that feeling. And I'm thinking, whoa, there it is again. Very interesting how I feel that way when this specific event happens or whenever I'm rejected. And I think, especially when I was 18, as soon as I got into the career of sales, that not wanting to be rejected, that fear of rejection, caused me to find ways in which I could make offers and sell and talk to people in a way where I overcame objections before they were even an objection. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons why I was successful in sales, even when I was at my unhappiest and my least fulfilled. So I guess those shortcomings, quote unquote, that we have when we're younger, we find ways to compensate for them. But that's also led you to where you are now today. It's interesting as shy people, how we both have podcasts where we talk to an audience of people. It's just interesting to see how our lives evolve from who it is that we used to be.
It is interesting. And I love the underdog, brother. For that reason, I love the underdog. So this is not like a long-winded question, just like a yes or no question. Have you ever seen one of those marketing webinars that are an hour long to 3 hours long, and they never actually say anything? They just do stories and testimonials, and they don't actually teach you anything?
So many of them.
So yeah. Let's not be one of those. I want to get super hard actionable now. I want to get so actionable for the rest of this that people are just, everybody take out your pencil. Take out your pencil and your pen and let's take some serious notes. So most of my listeners, they're in the self-development space. They're already doing well. But if they're like me at this time, I'm being honest, I've hit a bit of a plateau. So if someone's doing great, but they feel like they hit a plateau, and we can talk about sales and revenue growth and just the personal growth behind that. If you start to hit a plateau, what should we do next? What should be our next move?
Find something to work on and create. You're not the only one. Like I hit a plateau every year, sometimes every quarter, where I create something, I market it, I get clients and move them into that specific product. And when I say create and work on something, I mean a specific product, right? And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't want to work on a new product. Okay, great. Well, how can you make your existing product that much better? Because the reality is there's 100 products like the one that you have, right? And you make it unique because you bring yourself to it. But whenever I reach a plateau like that, I make the product better. And I work on getting market research about it. Like I ask the people who are currently in the program or whatever the product is, what do you like about this? What do you wish that it did? How can we make it better? And I take that and I create objectives. So the first P of the 5 P's of self-mastery is create a plan, right? Whenever I feel like I've hit a plateau, it's because I've been doing the same things for a long time. Sometimes a long time is a few weeks, by the way, where I'm reliving the same day for 2 weeks in a row. And it's like, okay, I'm doing the same things. Like, what am I creating that's new? We are all creative beings. And I believe that I'm personally more of an executor than creator, in the sense that if I have an idea, if someone supplies me with an idea, I'm really good at executing on it. But I know there's a lot of visionary types out there who have so many amazing ideas, but they aren't really the execution type. And embrace that, right? If you're the idea person, find someone else to execute on it and bring it to the market and partner with them or work with them, bring them on your team. Whatever you must do in order to make it happen. But I'm an executor. So I ask my clients for the ideas. I ask them what they want, and then I create based on that. So every quarter, I like to have a project for myself. And every 90 days, I'm asking myself, what do I want to work on exclusively for these 90 days? Like recently, I just started a new project and kind of what I've been doing, but in a new way. I actually want this to become my next book. So this might be a project for the next year or so, maybe a little bit longer, about the laws of sales success. And what I want to find out is, what are the 5 laws of sales success that someone who was never born into sales or someone who feels like they aren't great at it can follow in order to be amazing at this? And just the thought of that new project gets me going. And it makes me feel like full of life, full of energy. I know what I have to do because I've done this with other projects in the past. And it's given me the life that I've needed in order to keep moving forward. So I know that was a really long way to answer that, but ask yourself, guys, like, what are you working on right now? What are you creating? Like, I stopped asking people as much, how are you? And I still ask them that because I'm still a human being, but I started asking people too, what are you working on right now? And some people go right into like what they're working on, but some other people are like, well, what do you mean? And it's like, well, what are you working on in your life? By the way, that doesn't have to be business. That can be your fitness. That can be your finances. That can be creating a plan for the relationships in your life or your spirituality or whatever it is. Just having something that you're working on and moving toward. It's the journey. It's the doing that really brings us that feeling of fulfillment. It's the progress that makes us feel really good.
The progress, dude, the daily progress makes us feel so good. I'm with you.
Yeah.
There's two topics we can tackle. I'm going to let you choose, but we could either finish the five P's of mastery because you gave us plan. But then I also want to hear the laws of sales success. Where, what are you feeling right now? Which one do you want to tackle?
Oh man. I talk about the five P's a lot. So your audience can find a lot on that.
Where can we find more info on that?
You can check out the Be Better broadcast for sure. It's on YouTube. You can look at my LinkedIn page. I talk about the five P's just to give you them in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Create a plan, power that plan physically and mentally. Surround yourself with the people who are like who you want to be and who support you, just like you and I are talking and we were connected. I think we were connected through Christine Smith. So surround yourself with the people who can help you and support your mission while you also support them. And then the fifth P is progress. So continue to make 1% progress every single day. And the fourth P is escaping me. I'm just having one of those moments, but maybe
it's not the project, is it?
It's not the project. No. Okay. No, the fifth P is progress. Go check out the broadcast. Your homework will be to find out that fourth P and message me and let me know what it is because I've obviously forgotten. But that's the framework that I followed in order to make those big changes in my life. That's what the five P's of self-mastery is.
Now, sales success. Because tell me if you think I'm wrong. We're all in sales no matter what we do. When you're a child and you want that candy bar, you're honestly probably the best salesperson on earth because you know exactly how to get that candy bar from your parents. Wow, I never even thought about this, but proposing to your girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
is that? It's so icky to call it a sales transaction, but we're all looking to amplify our influence. We're all looking to persuade. We're all looking to help move the needle because if we have something great, and we can't help, you know, convey that to someone. If we can't help someone, it actually hurts the both of us.
Yes.
So I believe we're all in sales in some way. At the very least, we're all in the world of persuasion and influence. So what are some of these laws of sales success? Because I need to get better at it. And I'm sure everyone at home could get better at it as well.
Great question. And the laws I give you right now are simply the things that have helped me in sales. Remember, this is a new project. So my mission is to speak to a bunch of people who are sales professionals at the top of their game in every industry. Not every industry, there's a lot of industries, but in many different industries. I'd be working on this for 30 years or more. And to find out what they believe the top laws are. So when I speak from this, I'm only speaking from my experience and the experience of the guests that I've had on my show. But it's not even the most charismatic people who are the greatest people in sales. I remember when I first got into sales, I was always one customer onto the next, onto the next, onto the next. I was always about speed and efficiency. And that's important in sales, okay? And that's important in any type of sale, right? But I remember I had a partner of mine at the time who I worked with every single day. And this guy was slow. I'll just tell you his name because he's out there. You can find him. His name is Sean Miller. And we called him Miller Time, right? We called him that not because of the beer or anything like that. We called him that because he took his time with people. And by the time I was done with three or four people, he was finally wrapping up his first transaction. And we're like, dude, come on, man. You've made like $200 a day. I made like $500 a day. Like, what are you doing? You're taking forever. And he's like, Brandon, this is all part of my plan. And I'm like 19, 20 at this point. I'm like, okay, dude, your plan, right? But something crazy started happening. I kept having to acquire new customer after new customer after new customer, but I kept seeing the same customers come back to Miller Time. Over and over, he'd have people return to him, getting new devices, buying more things. And I'm like, wouldn't it be so much easier to just help the same people over and over again and build that relationship rather than find customer after customer? It gets draining to do that over and over. So I finally said, dude, what are you doing different? And he said, you know how you used to make fun of me several years ago for this? He's like, this was my process. Spend time and create an actual relationship with people, right? Because you want them to like you so much that they come back to you and buy from you again and again and again. And I reckon with Balbert Marketing, you're probably not the cheapest person on the market. You're probably not necessarily even the fastest person on the market, right? Maybe you are. I don't want to take away what you're doing here. But my point is, I guarantee you have people who love to work with you, Ben, because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Yes. And in sales, especially online marketing and media, and this is the power of social media, our goal should be to become known, liked, and trusted by our audience, because you don't need a billion customers. All you need is, and I think there's actually a word for this, I think it's 1,000 true fans. And I think it's even less than that. I'm not sure who wrote this article years ago, but even if you have 100 true fans, people who will buy anything that you release because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. But not just that, they know that you'll deliver the result that you said you would deliver. If you can have 100 of those types of people, you will be in business for the long run. You won't be the statistic of people that drop out of business because you've actually worked on developing relationships with those 100 or 1,000 or maybe more of those people.
Mm-hmm. I think what you're describing is the difference between being in sales and being a salesperson, like an actual business person who's building a book of business, that's creating a network, that they will be a salesperson, a business person, an entrepreneur, an intrapreneur their entire career, versus someone who, I was in this role at one point, cold calls, gets a sale, and just moves on to the next one. The moment that I no longer worked for that company, I had zero relationships and no book of business.
Mm.
No connections.
Yeah.
Nothing. And that's the difference between being in sales as almost a hobby versus being an actual salesperson. So if the listener, they are actual salespeople, they're not treating this like a hobby, what are some other essentials that thus far you found? I know you're still in the research phase, and I love that you take the data and then you implement based on exactly what your market wants. I find, Brandon, I sometimes do the opposite. I'm like, I love this and I know it helped me, so I know there's more people like me, but you can fall flat. I love that you're interviewing and taking in the data and building products for the audience themselves.
Yeah.
So far, what have you discovered is another element of sales that just kicks ass?
Something that you talk about in your entire show is about it, and I'll tell you that in a second. But on the note of what you said about researching and collecting the data, I made the mistake when I first started of creating what I loved and what helped me and what I thought a lot of other people would vibe with, which was I created a goal setting course as one of the first courses that I created. And I spent like 3 months on this thing. Again, I'm glad that I did it because I learned a bunch of valuable things in the process and I felt good while doing it. Again, what's the project you're working on, right? I felt good during that time, but it fell flat, man. I didn't sell any when it first launched and it was literally a $47 course. I didn't sell any. And finally, I did start to sell it because I rebranded it. I finally asked some people who did go through it, what else would you like to see? I added to it. I made it different. But you have to give people what they want, right? And sometimes what you're offering to people is what they want, but you're currently packaging it or framing it in a way that doesn't look to them like what it is that they want. So sometimes it's not even recreating a product. Sometimes it's reframing the way that you talk about it or market it that makes all the difference. So I guess that could be a law, but probably not one of the top ones. I think another top law.
I want to talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
So you were selling a goal setting product. I don't want to set goals. what do I actually want? What would be a better way to frame that goal setting product? What would be a instead of being like, hey, I'm Brandon, I have a goal setting product that'll allow you to set great goals and achieve those goals. What's a better way to frame that that you think would be more successful?
Well, I'll ask you this question. Why do you set goals in your life? What's a reason why Ben Albert would create a goal?
I like to get quick wins because quick wins develop confidence, and confidence bleeds into everything I do. So it's less about the goal itself. It's just holding myself accountable so I can gain confidence. And then it almost doesn't even matter where the destination is because I'm moving with grace as I get there.
Well said. Yes. And the way that I would reframe it to market it to you in that case is confidence, how to become more confident in three steps, right? Or how to skyrocket your levels of confidence, how to be the most confident person in the world. Like, obviously, I'm just spitballing titles right now.
But great titles. I like it.
Yeah. Some, write them down. Someone make that. I'm sure it exists, but make it better. But I titled it something along the lines of goal setting. I was selling a process instead of selling the result. And people don't, this is why a lot of life coaches actually struggle when they first start life coaching. They're selling coaching, but we don't buy coaching. We buy greater revenue in business. We buy greater confidence. We buy, I want to be more clear on my next steps. We don't buy coaching. We don't buy a goal setting process. We buy how to be more confident, or what I retitled it as is life designing secrets, how to design your life and take action towards your goals. And then when they take the course, step one, create goals. It's like, okay, cool. I'm going to follow this process, but they didn't buy it to follow goals. You might have the best product in the world, but people won't know about it if you're not titling it and marketing it and talking about it in the way that actually appeals to the people that you want to reach. As an example, I sold phones for so many years, right? If I said, I got the best phone for you, to some people, that's an iPhone. To other people, that's a Galaxy, right? And if I want to sell you a specific phone, I'm not just going to talk about the product. I'm going to ask you, what do you want in a phone? If you tell me that you want battery life, if you want the best signal, then I'm not going to sell you an iPhone because that's at like the bottom of that list. I'm going to sell you a Motorola, or I'm going to sell you one of the top tier Samsungs, right? And obviously we could go into that forever, but
it's a great one.
Find out what people want and then give them what delivers that specific result to them.
I like this. This seems like a sales staple. Know who you're selling to, because if someone, tell me if you've ever done this or someone around you, someone comes in and the sales rep goes, wow, I have the best phone for you. You love, they're not shopping for themselves. They're shopping for their 14-year-old daughter, but you didn't take the time to say, hey, who's the phone for?
Yes.
You assume that them with the nice watch and the suit wanted the biggest, best phone, but they're actually getting a starter phone for their daughter. But we didn't know because we never asked.
That's right.
I've never sold phones, but I feel like I could try.
Oh, you would rock that world, man. If you care about people and you realize that sales is simply helping people, then you will be infinitely successful in the world of sales. All you need to think about is, I want to help people. But in order to help people, you can't just help them the way you think they want to be helped. You actually have to ask them, how can I help you? What do you need help with? Right? Rather than creating just a solution you think is right, find the type of person that you want to help and ask them, what do you want help with? Tell me about your life. Find out what their limiting beliefs are. Find out what's holding them back. And then create something that can help them to overcome those struggles. Boom, you have a product. And in order to sell that, you simply make an offer to people. I think another reason why people aren't selling as much as they'd like is they're not making offers. They're simply thinking that people are going to just want to buy what they have, but you've got to constantly be making offers in the marketplace. I heard a quote recently, you can't sell a secret. If someone doesn't know what it is that you have or what it is that you do, you're not going to be able to sell yourself or that product because they don't know about it. You actually have to talk about it and let it be known. And that's the power of social media and content and podcasts and all those beautiful things. People have to know what you do, what you offer and how you can help them. And then it's just a matter of helping them. And that is sales.
You can't sell a secret. And you go back to what you said before, when you're building those relationships and you have returning people because they love what you do, you know, Brandon transitions from cellular sales to a completely different game. I'm sure you still had clients and friends and connections that moved in and wanted to support you in anything that you did. Is that correct? Or were you not at that level yet? Because I believe that I'm selling marketing, but I could sell spoons. I have supporters that would want to buy spoons from me, I hope.
Oh, yeah. And you build connections. I mean, that's what your show is all about. And that's what I was going to mention earlier. Building connections with people, building relationships with people locally, or one of the beautiful things from the pandemic is now we're able to build relationships with people from across the world. Like, you're in Rochester, so we're like 4 hours away. Like, you're a hop, skip, and a jump. But I've been speaking to people in London and people from all over the world. And it's like, literally the world is your oyster. Like, you can reach and help people anywhere. You just have to decide, who do I want to help? And how can I best serve those people? Not thinking about money, right? That's you need that. You need to survive. And that's why maybe having a job when you first start your business is a beautiful thing. That's what I did, right? But how can you serve people and truly make an impact and difference on their life? That's the question. That's how you become great at sales.
How can you serve? And I love how the world got smaller. I've got a lot of friends. I've been networking in Australia, and it's super cool because it'll be 8 o'clock my time, but it'll be like morning in their time. They're actually from the future. So I get to speak to some. Someone wished me a happy birthday, and I'm like, it's like 8 p.m. right now, but they were coming from the future, and it was actually my birthday. So that's also kind of cool. But I could talk to you all day. That's why we're going to do a round two. We'll probably end up doing a round three.
Heck yeah.
I want to close with rapid fire. Short, sweet, fill in the blank, say whatever you want. Points don't matter. It's like, whose line is it anyway that the points don't matter? But it's Family Feud that we only have, you know, 30 to 60 seconds here to get as much in as we can.
Okay.
So let's start with coffee or tea?
Black coffee.
All right. Cats or dogs?
Cats.
Are you a morning person?
Yes.
Favorite season?
Summer.
Let's go long form here, a little longer answers. Any podcast or book, like, what's inspiring you right now?
Three podcasts, actually. Real AF with Andy Frisella. Have you heard of Real AF, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
MF CEO.
Yeah. Yes. I love Andy Frisella. He's a badass. Love his podcast. You'll either love him or hate him.
Yeah, trigger warning on that one, but he's a
yes,
guy.
Big warning, but for those who like warnings, go check it out. Joe Rogan, obviously, no explanation needed. And also Ed Milet. I love Ed Milet's show. I don't know if you've seen it, but I just love Ed Milet and the way that he talks with people and interviews people, and his genuineness and compassion for people is something that I want to model and become even better at myself.
Ed Milet's incredible. I'm going to ask the question you ask people all the time. What are you working on right now? What are you learning right now?
I am on a mission to discover the 5 top laws of success and to put them all in a book with actual case studies from people who are the top in their industry. And that is my mission for the remaining of this year, as well as probably some, if not most, of next year. And that's going to be my next book.
I just wrote on my notepad 5 laws of success. I'm going to send you mine.
Yes.
I'll come up with it. People are going to want to reach out to you. They obviously are going to go subscribe to Be Better Podcast. Where should people go to connect with you and learn more and have a conversation, right? You're down to chat.
100%. To have a conversation, which, please message me and let me know that you listen to this show. I'd love to chat with you. Connect with me on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's the best place for that. Just literally send me a connection request. If you want to check out the podcast, YouTube, probably the best place, but the Be Better Broadcast is on every platform. And go watch the episode that Ben and I did together. Go watch that one first. You'll really like it.
Brandon, man, we'll do a part 2, 3, 4, 5, 10. I'm excited for these 5 laws of success. And, you know, so humbling, such a pleasure to have you on the show today, dude.
Dude, thanks so much for the opportunity. It was a pleasure, Ben.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.